The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
What if the biggest play in a multi-million-dollar esports tournament wasn't made by the players? What if the most decisive move happened completely off-screen, in a place most of us have only heard about in whispers?
You know, that's the question that really pulled me into this. I've covered financial markets. I've seen how they can be manipulated. But when you look at the esports world, the sheer explosive growth of it, the passion, and then you realize there's this parallel economy running in the shadows, completely unregulated. The scale of the money moving through these hidden channels is just staggering.
It is. And for me, it's a bit more personal. I grew up with video games. I've watched esports go from, you know, a niche hobby in a basement LAN party to selling out entire stadiums. There's a real purity to that level of competition. So the idea that this world I love is being targeted, that its integrity is being threatened by organized cybercriminals, that's what I can't shake.
And that's exactly what we're here to talk about. This isn't just a few people placing illicit bets. This is a sophisticated global network. We're talking about manipulated odds, laundered money, and a level of exploitation that affects everyone from the star players to the fans watching at home.
Today, we pull back the curtain. We're taking you deep into the connection between the dark web and the esports betting industry. We'll be talking to people who have been on the inside, who have seen how it works, and who can expose the mechanics of what we're calling the invisible gamble.
The stakes are higher than you could ever imagine. Let's get into it.
And to really grasp that, you have to look past the headlines. You know, we see these articles about a $25 million prize pool for a single tournament, and we assume everyone in that ecosystem is set for life.
Right. It creates this illusion of universal wealth, but the reality is, it's an incredibly top-heavy pyramid. For every team that wins a life-changing amount of money, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of players who are barely scraping by.
It's not just scraping by. It's the instability. The text we were looking at mentions that for a huge number of these pros, a career is 2 years. 2 years. Can you imagine that pressure?
No. And that's the perfect entry point for the people we're talking about. Think about it from a risk perspective. You have a teenager, maybe early 20s, who has dedicated their entire life to this one skill. They practice 50, 60 hours a week.
More than a full-time job.
Way more. And they know, statistically, that their window is incredibly small. They might get injured, a repetitive strain injury, or just fall off in skill. The team could drop them between seasons. There is no long-term security for the vast majority of them.
So a bad season isn't just a disappointment. It could be the end of your only viable career path. You're 24, 25, and you're what? Retired?
Exactly. So, when someone approaches that player, not the superstar on the main stage, but the guy on the third-place team who's worried about making rent next month, and offers them, say, $50,000 to just underperform in one crucial match.
$50,000 might be more than they'd make in the entire rest of their career. That's a hell of a choice to have to make.
It's an almost impossible choice. And the people making the offer, they know this. They aren't targeting the champions. They're targeting the vulnerability that's built right into the structure of the entire industry.
And it goes beyond just the players, right? The teams themselves, they can be just as volatile. I mean, we've seen entire team rosters just dissolve after failing to qualify for a major tournament.
Oh, that's the next level of this. It's one thing to compromise a player. It's another to exploit a financially unstable organization. An owner who is deep in the red might see a fixed match not as cheating, but as a business decision. A way to keep the lights on and pay their other players.
Wow. So the very passion that built this industry, the high-stakes win-or-go-home drama, is also its greatest weakness.
It's the perfect storm. You have unregulated money, immense pressure, and a workforce of very young people with incredibly short, precarious careers. It's not a crack in the system that criminals can exploit. The system is the crack.
And that's the thing that's so insidious. When you say the system is the crack, it means the tools of exploitation aren't brought in from the outside. They're already there. The very statistics, the data that fans and analysts use to enjoy the game, that's what the criminals use to find their leverage.
What do you mean? Like player performance metrics?
Precisely. Think about it. In a traditional sport, you bet on the final score. Win or lose. But in esports, there are hundreds of in-game events you can bet on. It's a data-rich environment. Who gets the first kill? They call it first blood. Which team destroys the first tower? Will a specific objective be taken before the 10-minute mark?
Oh. Wow. So you don't even need to ask a player to throw the entire game.
You don't. That's clumsy. It's too obvious. A team that's heavily favored to win suddenly losing? That raises red flags. But asking a player to just hesitate for a second? To use a key ability a moment too late? Ensuring the other team gets first blood? That's the play.
That's terrifyingly subtle. Because to any normal viewer, it just looks like a small mistake. A misclick. Something that happens under pressure.
It's a plausible mistake. The perfect cover. The player can still go on and try to win the rest of the match. They can tell themselves they didn't really cheat. They just made a single, profitable error. Meanwhile, a betting syndicate that put hundreds of thousands of dollars on that one tiny predictable event just cleaned up.
So how? How does that first contact even happen? These players are in team houses. They're surrounded by coaches and managers. It's not like someone in a trench coat walks up to them on the street.
No, it's far more discreet. It starts in the same places these players live their lives. Online. It could be a message on a gaming platform. A friendly DM from someone posing as a huge fan. They build a rapport over weeks, maybe months. They talk about the game. They praise the player's skill. They sympathize with them when their team loses a tough match.
They're grooming them.
They're absolutely grooming them. They're looking for that vulnerability we talked about. A player who tweets about financial stress. A player who gets benched and is worried about their contract. They do their research. Then, once the trust is established, the conversation moves. It goes from a normal chat app to an encrypted one. From there, to a private forum on the dark web.
And that's where the actual offer is made.
That's where the mechanics are laid out. And it's all done with deniability. Payments are made in cryptocurrency, untraceable. The instructions are clear, but ephemeral. The player is shown evidence of how much money is on the line, so they understand the seriousness of the situation.
It's not just an offer at that point, is it? It sounds like a threat.
It's a choice that feels like there's no choice. They've been drawn into a world they don't understand. And by the time the actual request to fix a moment in a game is made, they're already too deep. They feel complicit. And utterly, completely alone.
Because who could they possibly tell? If they tell their manager, their career is over. If they tell the authorities, what proof do they have? It's just a bunch of encrypted messages that have probably already been deleted. The system that was supposed to protect them has left them completely isolated.
And that isolation is the final turn of the key, isn't it? The very platforms they use to build their careers, to connect with fans, they become the walls of the prison. It's a perfect digital trap.
It really is. And you have to wonder, what does that do to a person's psyche? To know that your one mistake, or the one moment you were forced into, could be used as leverage against you forever. The game you loved becomes a source of constant, low-grade terror.
Yeah, and as we've walked through this whole mechanism, from the financial precarity to the subtle in-game fix, the thing that I keep coming back to is just how perfectly engineered it all is. It's a crime that almost polices itself. The victims are silenced by their own ambition.
See, that's where I think we might see it a little differently. I see the engineering, but what strikes me more is the waste, the human cost. We're talking about teenagers, kids in their early 20s, who have this incredible, world-class talent, a passion they've poured their lives into, and this system just chews them up and spits them out for a betting margin.
That's a fair point, a very fair point. So the lingering question for me is, what breaks the cycle? If the game developers can't police it, and law enforcement is always a step behind the technology, where does the change come from?
I honestly don't know if there's a single answer. Maybe it has to come from the players, from the inside. A players' association, a union, something that gives them a collective voice and a safety net, so that one player making $50,000 isn't a life-changing event, but just, you know, a salary.
A move toward professionalism in the truest sense, but that's a long, hard fight against a culture of individualism. It's a monumental task.
It is. And maybe that's the real takeaway here. This isn't just a story about video games and the dark web. It's a story about unregulated, explosive growth and the people who get left behind in the boom. It's a pattern we've seen before in other industries.
The invisible gamble isn't just about the bet you don't see. It's about the careers, the talent, and the passion that are being gambled away in the shadows every single day. It's a part of the scene that most of us never see, but it affects everything.
A sobering thought to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you're watching the pros, just remember the immense pressure they're under and the unseen forces that might be at play.